Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's Summer Challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for ministries. And that is true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. Even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you, we're facing a budget deficit that we cannot ignore. So I'll ask you, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us and to do it this month, this week, and yes, today. Thanks so much for all you do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects and to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much.
Today on Compassion Radio.
By 300 AD, just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
And we're talking more than 150 years before Constantine did the same thing in the Roman Empire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is about 350 to 375 AD when this happens, and he appoints the first patriarch to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which has been in full function ever since that day in that country.
When we take a look at creation and we see millions of different species along with magnificent multicolored plants and trees, it becomes pretty obvious that God loves diversity. Well, recently, Bram connected with Brian Grisham of Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. Brian says that God wants his church to reflect his love for diversity as well. I'm Frank Montenegro. Here's Bram with part three of this series.
In this part of Ethiopia, we think about there being 6 million people, maybe the size of South Carolina or something. You don't think about there being tens or hundreds of thousands of pastors that are already leading congregations that may not be all that in-depth in the Word, but they're there, like a latent army waiting for you to arm them.
Absolutely.
You're saying that that one people group has that many people in it that are worshipers?
They do. They're an extremely religious group. When we first learn about Ethiopia, that story in the New Testament with Philip and the Ethiopian that was traveling back from Jerusalem. He came on back to Ethiopia after that encounter. He learned that the scripture was about Jesus, and he learned about salvation. He was subsequently baptized on the road there, and then came on back and began to spread it. Well, by 300 AD, just about 250 years later, the first emperor of Ethiopia, who was still in power at that time, declared that Ethiopia was going to be a Christian nation and was going to follow the word of Almighty God.
And we're talking more than 150 years before Constantine did the same thing in the Roman Empire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is about 350 to 375 AD when this happens, and he appoints the first patriarch to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which has been in full function ever since that day in that country. There's never been a time where it was taken out of functionality. The problem has been that the tribal nature of this country and many other countries, as we've already said, the communication and the language, it morphs over time. It changes. And so there is a tremendous core passion and devotion in the hearts of the people to love God and to serve God and to relate to God. But because their languages have morphed and the translations in those heart languages have not kept up with the metamorphosis of the languages themselves, they're left without the best tool that any of us have to know how to connect to God, and that is His Word.
Mm-hmm. Or to preach from it effectively, with words that mean something to the people you're saying them to.
Absolutely.
If we were stuck having to speak every day in King Jamesese, we would be able to read the King James Version without much difficulty. Now, most modern readers have a difficult time with the original King James. It's had to be modernized. Even that one, at the gold standard of language in English was the King James Bible.
Correct.
And yet, it still has to be put to the test to see, are people comprehending what it says?
Yes.
And hence we have this wealth of translations that try to make it more perfect for communicating, not perfect in its substance, but perfectly suited to reach the people of each generation. So we have many, many translations in English. Now, even looking back on letters that are written to our grandfathers and grandmothers, might seem very archaic and strange to us if we would read the way they wrote to each other even 50 years ago.
Yes.
You have to have a cultural interpreter.
Yeah, right.
So now they've taken on this task. My guess is that your pastor friends are taking on the task not just of learning how to make English sound better in their language, but to learn the heart language of the authors of the Word of God, too, which means they have to go deeply into understanding the languages from which they are translating, which includes the Septuagint Greek, the Latin Vulgate, and the Aramaic, and the Street Greek, and things that were written in the epistles, and getting familiarized with them directly from that language to their heart language and not having to go through many intermediaries, which can muddle things.
That's right.
But they got it done.
They got it done, and they did utilize all of those resources that you just articulated. I went not every year, but every so often I would go and see them in process just to encourage and to see where things were, and they would have every resource you can imagine strewn out all over the office so that they could extrapolate what was the original intent of the author. Obviously, God is the author through the Holy Spirit, but he inspired men to write it down. And culturally, grammatically, what was the original intent that God was trying to say to his people through the writers of the Bible at that time? And how do we preserve that original intent into our heart language?
Yeah, and they did a great job at it from what I've heard. Now, let's move on to the application of that. You mentioned earlier that there are 120,000 pastors in a old, ancient denomination doing their very best to serve God with the knowledge they have. And now this effort's been taken to bring revival to the people and the pastors through a revision and a freshening of the communication, the voice of the entire Testament of Scripture. It's now available to them. And you've had the personal privilege of seeing what happens when pastors encounter this fresh Bible. Tell me about that.
It's been such a powerful experience, Bram. And I just returned with a team from our church here several weeks ago. Among the other many things that we were able to be a part of in ministry there, we were able to go visit one particular church that had been in existence for 1,600 years.
One church.
One church. It was hewn out of a rock, a massive rock in the side of a mountain. They didn't have building materials maybe like we would think of to build a building. And so they took what they had and
took it out.
They cut away everything that wasn't a part of their church. And what was left was this rock church that's literally 1,600 years old,
Wow. Laid
out very much like the instructions that are given in the Old Testament about how the tabernacle was to be laid out. So we know that they were following those writings from the Old Testament that Ethiopian brought back in order to construct the church.
The stone tabernacle.
Yeah. Serving in that church was a pastor who was 70 years old, and he had been serving the church since he was 15. So 55 years, which is about our age, me and you. Imagine going your entire life attempting to be a pastor, being responsible for the spiritual nature of those congregation members that are coming, but you don't have the textbook. You don't have the Bible. You're going on your memory of what you were taught by your mentors, maybe by other seasoned family members of the faith, and you're trying to remember all that and regurgitate all that and help people understand it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we were able to present to him in that church, in the midst of that structure that was his church, a full copy, Old Testament and New, of the Bible in the Tigrinya language, which is his heart language. And it was one of the most powerful ministry experiences, I suppose, that I've ever been a part of. Because the core of everything that is kingdom comes from acting out the word.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more great insight on what it means to truly love God's people.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says, go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Every hour and every moment, Lord, I
celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting. This is Compassion Radio.
We were able to go visit one particular church that had been in existence for 1,600 years.
One church.
One church. It was hewn out of a rock, a massive rock in the side of a mountain. They didn't have building materials maybe like we would think of to build a building. And so they took what they had
and took it out.
They cut away everything that wasn't a part of their church. And what was left was this rock church that's literally 1,600 years old,
Wow. Laid
out very much like the instructions that are given in the Old Testament about how the tabernacle was to be laid out. So we know that they were following those writings from the Old Testament that Ethiopian brought back in order to construct the church.
The stone tabernacle.
Yeah. Serving in that church was a pastor who was 70 years old, and he had been serving the church since he was 15. So 55 years, which is about our age, me and you, imagine going your entire life attempting to be a pastor, being responsible for the spiritual nature of those congregation members that are coming, but you don't have the textbook. You don't have the Bible. You're going on your memory of what you were taught by your mentors, maybe by other seasoned family members of the faith, and you're trying to remember all that and regurgitate all that and help people understand it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we were able to present to him in that church, in the midst of that structure that was his church, a full copy, Old Testament and New, of the Bible in the Tigrinyan language, which is his heart language. And it was one of the most powerful ministry experiences, I suppose, that I've ever been a part of. Because the core of everything that is kingdom comes from acting out the word. And if you don't have access to the word of God in a language that you fully understand and can process, then you're never going to fully be able to accomplish the kingdom work that the Bible's talking about. And so now that these pastors are beginning to get their copy, there are about 60,000 pastors who have received a copy already. So
about
halfway there. Our church recently did a campaign which generated funding for another 20,000 Bibles to be printed. So
okay, full stop there, friend.
Full stop.
120,000 pastors. Now, again, these are just the leads of each of these congregations. We're not talking about every believer in northern Ethiopia. We are talking about the people that serve them.
Correct.
So at least them receiving a Bible is halfway there. Now, we have the same experience in other parts of the world where our focus is to get the influencers, the people that are serving the most, the best quality copies of the Word of God we can as soon as possible. And the church, of course, exponentially explodes when the Word of God gets loose like that, especially when it's in good hands, people that respect it and can teach well from it and understand what the real meaning is and don't get confused by it, and help others to grow up and mature in their faith. It's a marvelous thing. Now, you are one church there in Shreveport, Louisiana, and you made the commitment to reach a good quarter of the entire population of North Ethiopia with the Word of God because of your giving locally, and you commended to your people the goal of raising up 20,000 Bibles to give this year. We're in the recent history here. That's a pretty impressive goal, especially when you talk about the cost involved. That's $100,000. You mentioned it was like $5 a Bible before. Your congregation committed to raise that much money for one project in that country?
They did, and the money was received in a 3-week time frame.
Wow.
That's how passionately they embraced the project. Now, bear in mind the name of our church, Word of God Ministry.
There you go.
So clearly, anything that we can do that
advances
gets
the Word of
the
God.
Word out, it advances the Word. It goes to the very heartbeat of this congregation and ultimately to the pastor and his wife and their vision, which led them to start the ministry about 22 years ago. Bear in mind, you and I have been a part of churches that have been in existence for hundreds of years and have been actively involved in fulfilling the Great Commission for decades.
Agreed.
This is a church that has only had a strategic and formalized mission ministry for 3 years. This is not a church that was founded in, 1912 and has been growing and establishing a missional tone for over 100 years. This is a church that's really been just getting acclimated to this for the last 3 to 3.5 years. And now we see such overwhelming response to chip away at 60,000 left.
Right.
Now we're down to 40,000.
Yeah.
Because the campaign that we just concluded will get another 20,000.
And this sounds to me, Brian, very much like a New Testament kind of scenario, because a congregation gets so empowered and so inspired by the Holy Spirit and the stories and testimonies coming back from the front lines that they can't help but give their all. Now, the original church in Jerusalem, as far as we know, pretty much every one of the original apostles went somewhere. Some were killed early.
Correct.
Others lived very long lives, but all of them got sent out. When you have a church where everybody who's been inspired by the Holy Spirit moves to do something in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's no stopping it. The world's your oyster. And your congregation is treating it as if we are the only ones left standing on the planet. We will never stop. And I believe that's the kind of motivation that literally wells up as a wellspring within you because of the Holy Spirit.
We'll hear more of this conversation tomorrow right here on Compassion Radio. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.